Hour number two, Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Michelle Knezevic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier are live from our game studio presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. Excuse me. Quickly, Junie, I just want to get to some of the Tennessee Volunteers players who were in the draft last night and where they ended up going. Hendon Hooker ended up going in the third round to the Detroit Lions.
Great pick.
Yes.
I love that fit. Value.
They got great value out of him in the third round. You have Jared Goff, who will be able to, first off, heal from that ACL injury, but also be able to learn under a Jared Goff and a Lions team that is rebuilding and the favorite for the NFC North. Cedric Tillman looks like he will be heading to the Cleveland Browns. Cedric Tillman was one of the guys who, you know, we looked at in this draft from Tennessee and thought not playing his senior year hurt him a little bit. I believe he had that ankle injury, but I believe he'll be a guy who can be pretty versatile in the NFL and also a big bodied blocking wide receiver.
Oh, I think Cedric Tillman might be one of the steals of the draft. I mean, the fact that he slipped to the third round, 6'4", 4'5", speed, physical receiver, has the burners, can go up and just moss on you. Cedric Tillman is the real deal. Now, Jalen Hyatt sliding, and we'll get to where he went in a minute. That I get. But Cedric Tillman, I think getting him in the third round, and now I believe it was Cleveland's first pick because of the Deshaun Watson trade. Wow. Like, what a great first pick for Cleveland. I thought that was a good fit for them. I think he's going to be a good ball player.
I do too, Junie. And I just think, you know, what hurt him and made him slide was he just didn't play it. They didn't have a lot of film on him last year. A lot of film on him the year before. But we really saw that Tennessee offense take another step this past year. And the beginning of the year, I mean, he was their guy. And then when he got hurt and they did the tightrope surgery, Jalen Hyatt had to take over. And speaking of Jalen Hyatt, he ended up going to the New York Giants. So, you know, you mentioned there for a second, you understood why Jalen Hyatt slid. I think one of the, you know, concerns about him is just the offense that Tennessee ran in. And I think that the reason we saw a lot of these Tennessee players slide was because of the offense was a huge factor. I mean, Charles Robinson came on our show a couple weeks ago and discussed, you know, NFL teams just don't know how to gauge it. They don't know how these guys will transfer into the NFL because the way they line up is, I mean, it's a no huddle offense spread from sideline to sideline. And, you know, it's, you know, run deep. And I understand there's a lot more that goes into that. And it's not just, hey, run deep, I'll throw it to you wide open. But, you know, they don't know how it will fully transfer into the NFL because we've seen guys succeed in the NFL and we've seen guys who come from that offense who have it. But I think if we see a Jalen Hyatt, a Cedric Tillman, and a Hendon Hooker really succeed in the NFL level, I think that'll do wonders to Josh Heupel and to the Tennessee program, just proving that, hey, you can come here, we can run this offense, and that doesn't mean you won't transfer to the NFL.
I think for me, you know, Jalen Hyatt, he's just an unrefined product, you know. I think he was a product of the system. I mean, he's a speedster, don't get me wrong. You can't teach speed like that. But when it comes to his route running ability, him catching over the middle, his size, he needs to put on some weight. Absolutely. He's just – I just don't know if he's going to pan out in the NFL. I really don't. I have a lot of caution on that just because, you know, him running fly routes and trying to burn – corners and safety in the league isn't going to be the way it was when he was, you know, matched up in the slot on a nickel or safety in college football. It's just flat out not the same. These guys are way faster, way more skilled, and can guard him up man to man and press him at the line, which he didn't see a lot either. The one thing going for him though is that he went to the Giants with Brian Daboll, and that's a great offensive system. So if Daboll can kind of use Hyatt as like a third receiver, a speedster, and just use what he can do and kind of scheme him up for things, then I think that could work. But if you're telling Jalen Hyatt to go out there and just really expand his route running tree and be a number one receiver, I think you're fooling yourself. He has to be used in a certain way and has to be kind of schemed into using his skill set.
Well, and, you know, we look at the Giants taking obviously a big step last year with with Dable, with Daniel Jones. Obviously, Saquon Barkley had a huge bounce back year. You know, Wandale Robinson, he was out of Kentucky. He was one of their young receivers they added to the room last year. He tore his ACL, I think, actually, in the Tennessee Titans game here in Nashville. But Jalen Hyatt will add to that wide receiver room. And, you know, my concern, Junie, is he's got to put on some weight. I mean, that comes with most players heading into the NFL. But as a slot receiver, you're getting hit by linebackers. It's the same problem we talk about with Kyle Phillips, right? You know, when you are a smaller built guy, you really have to rely on that speed, because unfortunately, when you do play in the slot, oftentimes you are getting hit by linebackers who are big body dudes. We know it.
I would say it's a bit different between those two players in particular. Yeah. You know, Kyle Phillips is a more, you know, shifty. I mean, we watched him run routes in training camp. I mean, this guy flat out can get open. So he uses the middle of the field a lot, which involves linebackers. Jalen Hyatt, I think the way he plays won't necessarily get a lot of big hits from linebackers and stuff like that. It's just the matter of, can he beat, like, press coverage? Can he expand his route tree? Because it just wasn't very versatile when he was playing at Tennessee. And is he going to be used more as like a tool, a speedster, or is he actually going to be a legit wide receiver? I would say he's more of a tool that you can use as a third wide receiver, use that speed to get open and make some groundbreaking plays. That's what I see him being personally.
And then also another Tennessee volunteer, Byron Young, outside linebacker, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, if anybody's getting drafted there, I'm sure he is very happy to head to the Kansas City
Replacing
Chiefs.
Frank Clark.
Yeah. So going to have, he was the 77th overall pick in the third round for the Kansas City Chiefs. But switching back to the Tennessee Titans, just wanted to kind of highlight where some of the Tennessee volunteer players went to. I will say we have a text on the text line that says, I feel bad for Hooker going to the Lions. Listen, the organization, they are in a turnaround. Let's have a little faith in the Lions.
Why, what's so bad about the Lions? That's what I want to know. I mean, they ended the season great.
I think historically, people view them as,
that's,
you know,
annoying.
I get, right? It's the stereotypical, oh, well, they're the Lions.
It's a
right?
new GM, new coach, new system, new players. I mean, they were probably the best team in their division to end the year last year. Minnesota was really falling off. They caught steam. They started off, what, 1-6, 1-7, and they finished the year 9-8. Like, they had a really good end of the year last year. And their defense was one of the worst in the league, and they have done a ton to beef that side of the ball up. So I look at the Lions as, somebody asked me the other day, you know, who can compete with Philadelphia in the NFC? And of course I said San Francisco, but I had to be real with them. I'm like, if I told you I was high on the Lions, would you call me crazy? Because I think they legitimately have one of the best rosters in the NFC.
Yeah, I agree. So switching back to the Tennessee Titans and just talking about the draft as a whole, we still have a lot of text on the text line. Tennessee Titans fans are excited. Some are frustrated. Some are mad. But just kind of revisiting the conversation, Junie, we kicked off the show with, right? They move up to go get Will Levis in the second round, a guy who was viewed as a first round pick by basically everyone. I didn't see one mock draft that had him falling into the second. And, you know, I've seen the narrative too of, well, if they wanted him to be their quarterback, then why didn't they get him at 11 when they had the opportunity to? And I get that, because you look at, okay, a quarterback, if you believe he could be your guy, they could potentially transform your organization. But they didn't think Peter Skoronski would fall to them. I honestly didn't. I thought the Bears were going to take Peter Skoronski at 9. I didn't know that he would fall to 11. So then you have to go by your board. And I think that that's something that Rand Carthon hit on heavy last night in his press conference. There were a lot of questions from the media. Why did you draft a wide receiver? Why did you draft a wide receiver? Why did you move up to get a quarterback if you passed on him at 11? All fair questions. But, you know, when you look at the way they probably ranked their players, if Skoronski's ahead of Levis, you have to weigh your pros and cons. Okay, we still have Ryan Tannehill. Let's try to be good next year, and we'll get a Peter Skoronski who can help beef up our offensive line. But then they also were reported from Tom Pelissero and a lot of national media members that they were trying to get back in the end of the first round. They were trying to get a deal done with the Buffalo Bills to get back in the first round, not able to, but they benefited that Will Levis slipped out, and then they could go back in to the top of the second round to go and get him, which is what they did. And I think it's hard to, as a fan, because I've definitely been in this position before where you look at your team and you think, okay, this guy could be great, but like, we need to be good now. We want to beef up our roster now, and we want to win next year. But unfortunately, right, if you wanted to make all these additions to the offensive line, sometimes you can't also do that to the wide receiver core. And you don't want to just take a player because he's a wide receiver if you view him maybe as a fifth or a sixth round pick.
I think Brandon Gall summed it up last night.
Yes.
And he says, fans of Titans or Titans fans hating on Will Levis with this much vitriol is why I love college football. Vols hate Levis because Hooker got less NFL attention. That's it. Vols beat him twice. Hooker, far better college QB and far more likable. Levis is a far better NFL prospect, and they can't take it. That's exactly how this whole thing is summed up. People look at what they did in college, and they can't look past it. I'm sorry. College football and your production there means absolutely nothing. You have to have certain traits. Will Levis has those. Hendon Hooker didn't. Vols fans have to get over that. And honestly, I don't think I've been in Tennessee enough to see the nasty side of Vols fans, but last night I was seeing some more colors than other than orange and white. I can tell you that. It was ugly. It was nasty. And I think that you need to take a deep breath and look at this with some perspective and look at what traits these guys possess and which player is more likely to be a better pro. The upside for Levis is much higher than it is for a Hendon Hooker. And I think once you realize that, accept that, and let the team do their job, it's gonna shine a better light on this pick with what the Titans did last night.
And listen, if he gets out there and is a complete bust, which so many of you are already saying that that's going to happen before he's even taken one snap in the NFL, which is one of my biggest pet peeves, is saying that a player is going to be, you know, the biggest failure, the biggest bust ever before they've ever even, you know, played an NFL snap, I think is one of my biggest pet peeves. I understand, right? But hasn't history proven itself, Junie, that just because you weren't this absolute superstar in college doesn't equal you're not going to be successful in the NFL? And that if you were a superstar in college also doesn't mean you're going to be a superstar in the NFL? I mean, hasn't history proven that?
No, certainly. I mean, how many times have we seen Heisman winners come into the NFL and flame out? Just because you're the best quarterback. I mean, Baker Mayfield put up some of the craziest stats I had seen in a long time when he was at Oklahoma. And guess what? He just flat out didn't pan out as an NFL quarterback. Now, here's a question that Jared Stillman tweeted out last night, and I want your opinion on it because I think it's a really good talking point. And I was talking to Chase about this at our draft watch party, and that is, if Will Levis doesn't pan out, that's Mike Vrabel's and Rand Carthon's job. And I want to know your opinion on that. Do you think that if Levis doesn't pan out, that will be the last opportunity for Vrabel and Rand Carthon?
Well, you will get Junie and I's answers on the other side of the break. Could Will Levis be the deciding factor in Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel's tenure here in Tennessee? We'll give you the answer. Coming up next on Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us as well. They're live from our game studio presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios this morning. This week's Nashville's best deal is Bite a Bit in the heart of East Nashville. Get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Bite a Bit features all the best Thai food, sushi, and cocktails that you will love. Check them out at Bite a Bit. NashvilleSushi.com. And also, like I said, we're streaming all show long. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. So, Nick, you had a question posed to us regarding the Tajay Spears pick.
Yes. So obviously when Rand Carthon was at San Francisco, it's time there, you had Elijah Mitchell and Raheem Mostert, both who have had previous knee injuries while he was there. Now with this pick with Spears, having that previous knee injury, you know, situation, should that be a concern or is that just a coincidence?
You know, I look at that situation, Nick, and we'll get Junie's thoughts too right after, is I think about how far, you know, medical advancements and technology has come when it comes to ACL injuries and things like that. It doesn't worry me as much as a guy who might deal with soft tissue injuries, right? We talked about Jackson Smith and Jigba, who had hamstring injuries nagging here and there, where maybe it could take you out of a game or two and you're here and you're there. Whereas an ACL injury, oftentimes, I mean, you can't avoid those, right? It's an ACL, a concussion, a turf toe, you know, breaking a bone. A lot of those I kind of look at and think, you know, you can't avoid those. Whereas, you know, when Mike Vrabel talked at the end of the season, when it comes to those soft tissue hamstrings, groins, those are things that you have to work through in your body and train your body in a certain way. And it's like, okay, do you want to sit out? He compared it to a blister and a scab. Are you going to kind of work through it? Or are you going to just, you know, sit out and then try to come back, but you'll get that blister again? Are you going to try to work through that pain? But I don't really see it as a huge issue. As Junie mentioned, Tajay Spears played every game last year, right? It doesn't seem like it's been a problem for him. And his last ACL tear was in 2020.
I'm completely on board. I actually just really like the pick. I think as Derrick Henry slows down a bit, that getting another guy in here to kind of take some of the workload off of him so that he can have fresher legs to make big plays is important. And we saw what Dontrell Hilliard was last year. He could get the Titans out of a pinch. He was a great receiving back. And I think this kid Spears out of Tulane has a lot more upside than a Dontrell Hilliard. I think he can do a little more. And I don't think he's just purely a third down back, which I've seen a lot of. And I mean, originally, that's what I posted too. I was like, that's a good third down back to get for the Titans. It's somebody they needed. You know, Hassan Haskins is not a third down back. This kid is. But when I see his ability to run in between the tackles and when I see his ability to see the hole that's opened up and change direction and bump to the outside, he has elite traits to him. And if he's staying healthy and his production is what it is, and you get him in the third round, I just think this is going to be a good 1-2 punch for the next couple of years. And it would be different if you brought this guy in and you didn't have one of the best running backs in the NFL. This guy isn't going to be playing a whole ton. Derrick Henry is still going to take a boatload of the snaps. He's still the bell cow of this team. But to get a guy with this much upside, where you got him to kind of be a change of pace player that can come in day one and probably make plays for you, I think it's a good pick. I think people are just looking too into what's on paper with the Titans with the wide receiver position. And I just don't think that the answer to their problems is in this year's draft. And let the young guys develop. Let these guys get in here. See who's available. There's going to be wide receivers that are available. And let's not jump to the conclusion and react the way that I'm seeing most fans react. I think so far you got two players that were in the top 10 that were projected to be top 10 picks, and you got them both outside. And you got a top 5 player at his position that can come in day one. So far, the Titans have done a really good job in this year's draft. I think it's underrated. And I think that the fans and the volume that they've been pushing out, they just need to take a little step back. Just a little step back. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
And also, I mean, you look at the wide receiver class next year and you look at the tight end class next year, right? Brock Bowers out of Georgia, who's an absolute monster. You look at Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, I think both of those guys could be probably the best two players outside of quarterback. So you look at the class next year and they have some more elite level prospects compared to the wide receiver class this year. I will say something important to mention regarding Tajay Spears. This was tweeted out by Sam Phelan last night. At the comment, At the combine, new Titans running back Tajay Spears medicals showed no ACL, loss of cartilage, and arthritis in his knee, per Ian Rappaport. So the question is, if his career can outlast his first contract, that's why a player of this caliber dropped to the third round. So, you know, to Nick's point, that is something you worry about. But does this organization believe that his value in the third round, even with this knee problem, can still be worth it, and there's still value at that position?
Well, think of it also this way, Michelle. There have been other NFL players that have played without an ACL. Like John Elway is one. Hines Ward. Odell Beckham Jr., the year that he was with the Rams and his production. And again, it might be a bad example because he re-injured it, but he's also had multiple ACL tears. I'm looking at Adrian Peterson. When he tore his ACL, everybody, his ACL and MCL, they thought his career was over, and all he did was come back and win MVP. So we've seen guys do it. And when I look at this kid, and like I said, he would have been a second-round draft pick if it hadn't been for this whole ACL issue. Mm-hmm. I really think that if he can come in and give you 3 or 4 years, because that's what running backs are doing, giving you 3 or 4 years of high-level production, and if he tapers off after that, then so be it. That's basically what every other running back is. They get their carries, they get their touches, they wear down, and then they're gone. I mean, look at Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott, when he came into the league, he was one of the hottest stars in the entire NFL. Ezekiel Elliott isn't on an NFL team anymore, and he's not even 30. So with all that being said, I think you can get some high valuable years from this guy. I think it's a great 1-2 punch with him and Henry. He is the exact counterpart that I think that the Titans need in the backfield, and he's a playmaker. So you want playmakers, you want speed. He has the home run hitting ability. I think he's going to come in and make some noise this upcoming season. So other guys have done it. He's proven he can play through it. Let's give him the opportunity, because I think this guy has a lot of upside.
Some quick news around the NFL right now to kick off this morning. So per Ian Rappaport, the Saints have traded with the Bears for the first pick of the fourth round. So they will trade. The Saints will now be picking at 103, and the Bears will get back 115 and 165. So some moves already being made this morning. But Junie, there's a tweet on Twitter regarding the Tennessee Titans draft that I want to get to coming up next. And I want to get your thoughts on this. On Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us today. The gang's all back together, guys. I missed you the last couple of weeks when I was off. But you can hear us every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. discussing the NFL draft. We got a couple more rounds coming up today. As I mentioned before we went to break, there's been some moves already been made. The Saints have traded with the Chicago Bears for the first pick of the fourth round per Ian Rappaport. So pick 103 for 115 and 165. Early called shot, boys. The Bears will be the Jags of last year.
Really?
Early called shot.
I mean, I could see it. I think if Justin Fields and they drafted Darnell Wright, which, you know, I'm kind of iffy on whether or not he's going to pan out as an NFL tackle. But if Justin Fields can get some protection, and that, you know, they did get more from Carolina. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could be. And the Packers and Vikings aren't going to be as good. Yep. I could see them making a bit of a jump. The thing about the NFC is they're wide open. So, you know, a young team like that with a promising quarterback like Justin Fields could make that leap. But Justin Fields from year one to year two was a pretty big step. We need to see it. We need to see another big step from Justin Fields.
Yeah, and, you know, helping, you know, getting offensive lines kind of set more. He has some weapons now. But as you said, I kind of look at the NFC North like the AFC South last year, right? At the helm right now is the Lions. That was kind of the Titans last year. And then, you know, behind them, the Vikings were the Colts. And then, you know, the Jags, the Bears, and then the Packers were the, were the Houston Texans, you know, losing to Deshaun Watson, things like that. So it'll be interesting. But they've already made an early trade. The Chicago Bears have made an early trade with the Saints. The Saints will pick first in the fourth round today. But Dooney, I said I wanted to bring up a tweet that I saw because Chase McCabe put out a poll out there. So go answer the poll if you haven't seen it on Twitter already, basically just to get a gauge of the fan base. And he tweeted this about an hour ago. He said, Titans fans, how are you feeling about the draft so far? 17% I like it. 39% say I don't like it. 20% say not sure. And 22% say wait and see. A person commented on it, Scott Rhodes. He said, I love the Skoronski pick. Every decision since then has been perplexing, to say the least. No one wants Levis. Then they take a running back with no ACL. Wide receiver room is probably the worst in the league. And if Chig gets injured, I can't tell you who the backup tight ends are. I've seen this narrative of no one wants Levis. And, you know, I'm not sure if this is the market we're in, being in the state of Tennessee and the film that they've seen on him in the Tennessee game the last 2 years. But I also want to go to another tweet. This is by John Glennon. John Glennon took a handful of the Titans' grades from Friday's draft picks from all national media outlets. The NFL, A-minus based on all three picks so far. So an overall A-minus. Pro Football Focus, Levis elite, Spears good. CBS Sports, Levis A-minus, Spears B+. The Athletic, Levis A, Spears A-minus. The Sporting News, Levis B, Spears A. So, you know, when you look at some of the people who cover this league nationally and, you know, don't specifically work in this market, I understand sometimes they don't have the best gauge on, you know, who and what this team is, but they have reporters all over the country. I mean, we know that Joe Rexroad is our athletic reporter for the Tennessee Titans here. I mean, he's the entire state of Tennessee, but specifically covers the Vols, the Titans, the Predators, and the team specifically in this state of the NFL. So I was honestly floored at the negative reaction to all of this. Like, I'll ask this question for fans right now. In Texas, call us 615-737-1025. Would you rather have them gotten a fifth, sixth round caliber wide receiver at the third round last night just to get a wide receiver?
I would.
I mean, that's the question,
no.
Right?
Absolutely not. I mean, you can't overdraft a guy. I look at it this way. Like I said, Will Levis was supposed to go in the top 10, and they got him in the second round. And they only gave up a third round pick in the trade? Mm-hmm. Third
and
round
and a fourth next year, I think.
I think they swapped thirds, and then it was the fourth. So it essentially was a swapping of the picks. They moved back like 10 spots, and then they gave up their fourth round pick. So a fourth round pick to get a guy with a first round grade. And then they got a top five running back in this class that has a lot of upside. I just don't think that this draft is necessarily filled with the talent that the Titans' holes have, if that makes sense. So the Titans have a bunch of holes on this roster, and they shouldn't overreach just to plug some of these holes, because that's not going to fix your problem with underwhelming players. I think they need to look at this in its entirety. And the fact that we're seeing a bunch of these outlets give them good grades on these picks, I'm looking at these picks thinking they're good. I'm just wondering what Titans fans are thinking. Are you stuck in the mindset that, you know, injured players are automatically bad just because that's what John Robinson did? I mean, maybe Rand Carthon has a different evaluation of different injuries. It's all different. It's all different. And so when you're talking about, like, nagging injuries, like you said, like hamstrings and groins, it's different between an ACL. The ACL is just such a fluke. So that I don't understand. I just think you need to look at this and encompass this, that it's a high-talented player. It was a position of need, and it was probably the highest-rated player that they had on their board. Now, the one question I want to get out there to Titans fans is, what about Will Levis can you not get over? Can you not see the potential? Can you not see what he possibly could be if the cards fall into the right place? Because we've seen it before, and we mentioned this earlier. If your production is crazy good in college, that doesn't always mean it's going to translate to the NFL. If you had a tough time in college, playing for a school that's not necessarily a powerhouse, and you get bullied by better football programs, that's not indicative that you're going to be a bad player at the NFL level. Ben Roethlisberger, a lot of turnovers. Josh Allen, a lot of turnovers. These guys were projects. But what the NFL and their scouts did was look at the potential that these guys have. Levis has a super strong arm, probably the strongest arm in the draft. He's mobile. He's smart. And on top of that, as much as we talked about the S2, we haven't even brought this up. He had one of the highest S2 scores in this entire class, off the charts. You've got to give this guy a chance. I just want to know, like, from Titans fans, from Vols fans who root for the Titans, why can't you look at the potential? Why can't we see the possibility that this team, as good of a coach as everybody makes Mike Vrabel out to be, why don't you trust him to be able to get the most out of this young quarterback and his potential?
Yeah, Junie, I think you brought up, you know, some great points there. As much as it's really easy to see the downside and to look at the negative of the situation, I would say that his upside is it's, you know, higher than a lot of these quarterbacks in this draft. And I think it's easy to look at recency bias on the way that things panned out for Kentucky last year. I think it's easy to look at, you know, Hendon Hooker and how much more successful he was than a Will Levis. And I think it's easy to look at, well, this guy was a lot better than this guy, so why is he, you know, a better NFL prospect? But it's not always X's and O's, and it's not always equal. And I think that's important to mention. And I do think a question you asked me earlier, which I just completely forgot to answer, Junie, is, you know, Will Levis, will he be the determining factor in Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel's job? It's a fair question, right? It's a fair question that people are asking. And I remember one of Rand Carthon's first press conferences, and he said, you know, the reason you get hired and fired in this league are because of quarterbacks, right? You draft a Patrick Mahomes, I mean, and you're winning as a GM, there's not much reason you'll get fired if you have a Patrick Mahomes on your team or a Joe Burrow, right? The quarterback position has become so pivotal into successful teams. It's not just pocket passers that we used to see. It's not just guys who can stand in the pocket and have an amazing arm and make these huge throws and starting at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, some teams are built that way, but quarterback position has become so dynamic, and they need to be able to make plays. And when you have a guy like that, you're put in a different category. You're put in the category of you're in a Super Bowl window for their entire career, right? What have we been talking about for most of the offseason is that look at the AFC. Look at how stacked they are with quarterbacks. You look at Ryan Tannehill, who's a good NFL quarterback, but when you stack him up against the other quarterbacks in the AFC, and now with Lamar Jackson getting that contract and he's staying in the AFC, I mean, you're looking at the 11th, I mean, bottom half in quarterback play.
No, for certain. And we know Tannehill, and we've looked at the rankings for AFC and NFC quarterbacks, and we're projecting that Tannehill will likely be outside of the top 10 out of the 16 teams in the AFC. And so they needed to get a guy with upside. Josh Allen didn't come into this league as a refined product. Patrick Mahomes didn't come to this league as a refined product. Jalen Hurts didn't come to this league as a refined product. They got coached up based off of their potential. They got put into the right system. You have to trust your coaches. And when Will Levis is playing in the exact same system that the Tennessee Titans run, he's already going to have a general idea of how to run it. Mike Vrabel is considered one of the best coaches in all of the NFL. You have to trust him to do his job. And for me, I've been on this train before for anybody. I mean, outside of you. Because me and you together collectively have been on the Will Levis train before anybody. People at our station have started to come around a little bit, but we have been on him from the jump. I had him as my number two quarterback in this draft. I've gotten flack about it this whole time. I get it, he's dropped, but I see the potential. I see what he can be. I see his leadership. I see his confidence and his traits. This kid, if he's coached up right, he's in the system he knows, he can break out to be a star. And I believe he genuinely will. I'm saying it right now. I think that Will Levis will be the guy. We talked about if they could potentially go up and get him. I've been all for it. So now Now it's time to put the money where your mouth is. Now it's time to go in, put in the work, let him sit for a year behind Tannehill, put him through the Patrick Mahomes system, let Tannehill become the new Alex Smith, and let's see if they can pull out the traits like Josh Allen did with Brian Daboll in Buffalo, like Andy Reid did with Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. Watson. You have to draft guys with upside and develop them if you want that superstar quarterback. You just don't draft guys unless you're the worst team in the league to come in and be a day one superstar in the NFL. It just doesn't happen that way. You have to put in the work.
Yeah, and I think one thing too that's important to mention, Junie, and this was a talking point, you know, before or when Rand Carthon first got hired. I think it's pretty clear that Mike Vrabel had a huge hand in this decision, right? We can't just put this, I understand Rand Carthon is the GM, but what was the major conversation we were having when Rand Carthon got hired? Okay, Amy Adams Strunk chose Mike Vrabel out of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. She believed that Mike Vrabel helped hire the GM. Usually it is GM who has the final say, but in some instances, the coach has a major hand in this. Mike Vrabel had a major hand in this decision. You're not moving up in any round in the draft unless your owner, your head coach, and your GM are on board with it. I truly believe that. And I believe that Mike Vrabel had a huge role in this. And there was some stuff, you know, that came out of why did Will Levis drop? Did he drop because of character, because he's cocky? Here's something I'll tell you. If Mike Vrabel thought this guy was cocky or thought he had a bad attitude or wasn't a good leader, there was absolutely zero chance he would have drafted him. Zero. I mean, he's a no BS guy, right? I mean, he is a Patriot style, no BS. He's been in the league. I truly don't believe him or don't believe if he saw any bit of that, that they would have drafted him. So for all the character issues, if you're worried about that, I mean, Mike Vrabel is one of the top no BS guys in this league. And so now we have to wait and see. And it's frustrating that we have to wait and see, and we can't have the answer now that somebody's going to be a superstar. But also, you know, we just got a new offense, or the Tennessee Titans just got a new offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach. You're saying now that you believe that these coaches can develop him into being your franchise quarterback. Texas call us 615-737-1025. Junie and I will put a bow on things today. Discuss the Tennessee Titans draft picks thus far. And could they go wide receiver later in the draft class? Teron Davenport put out on Twitter some options for the Tennessee Titans in these later rounds. We will go over them with you. Coming up next, I'm Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You've only been with the team for 30 minutes, but what's kind of the thought process as you enter a competition to try to get on the field as fast as you can?
Hey, I just want to learn from them. They've been in the NFL a lot longer than I have, even though Malik's only been a year. So they already have a lot more experience and are going to be able to teach me a lot of things. And I mean, I just want to be a great teammate to them and a great teammate to everybody else on the team while competing at the same time and just feeling that out and just making sure I can do whatever I can to help the team win.
That was Will Levis speaking to the media yesterday after being drafted by the Tennessee Titans, 33rd overall quarterback out of Kentucky. Welcome back in to Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us on the ones and the twos. I thought it was actually pretty cool. Will told us the story of how he found out that he was going to be a Tennessee Titan, Junie. So he was there, obviously, the first night of the draft in Kansas City. And I mean, I'm sure everybody saw the camera shots on him when he continued to slip. He didn't attend the draft the second night. He actually flew home to Connecticut, and on the way home, the flight was a little late. He hit traffic. He said that him and his family walked into their home in Connecticut, and that is when he saw that, you know, he got drafted by the Tennessee Titans, and they were just in their home, and his sister was actually wearing a Jason Aldean Barr shirt. Which I just think I love little tidbits like that and little moments where you get to see kind of a glimpse inside of, you know, how he found out. And he said, as soon as Rand Carthon talked to him on the phone, he started crying. So, you know, I think it's really easy sometimes for Twitter to say that this kid is going to be a huge failure. And maybe I'm being a softie right now because I am a Kentucky fan. I'm not shy to say that. He was a quarterback last year. I agree that, you know, he didn't have a good year. He had a bad year. And I think he'll probably be the first one to tell you that. But I think sometimes we forget about the human aspect of things, that people were making fun. Ha ha, you're not a first rounder, you know, and now getting drafted in the second round. I mean, right? That's, they're a human at the end of the day, right? 20 something year old people. So I think that's also important to mention too. I'm cool with, if you don't like the pick, okay, but let's just wait and see how it goes. I know we got Scott from Goodlettsville on the line right now, wants to weigh in on Will Levis. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Welcome in, Scott.
Hey, guys, I want to say this, but I'm on my way to Cookeville. I'm glad I got in my car on my way to Cookeville for a TSU, Tennessee Tech softball game. I'm the communications coordinator for TSU. But I want to say that you all have changed my mind. I was one of those that were like Will Levis and Ty Johnson, whatever, Spears, and what are we doing and all that. Listening to you all, and I appreciate the fact that you changed my mind. And I will give them a chance. I will not talk bad about them and all the things that you talked about. I also have a good friend that is a sports information director at Kentucky, Susan Lax, that I'm going to call.
What? About, I love Susan Lax. Levis.
Yeah. I love her. But wanted to say this. If you take away Chig and you take away Derrick Henry, I would venture to say at this point, Will Levis had better weapons at Kentucky than he has with the Titans. So I still say that we need to address the wide receiver position. How do we do that? This draft had some guys, but they're all gone. And also the center position. I think the center from Michigan is still available. I like for them. I know it's like we're picking all offensive players. I think that's probably going to happen to try to address the offensive side. But what do we do now to address the wide receiver position? I'll hang up and listen to y'all talk. I appreciate you guys changing my mind, too.
Thanks, Scott, for calling in. And shout out TSU softball. He's heading there right now. But, I think, Junie, our proponent is just trying to give the facts and what actually happened in the Tajay Spears situation, in the Will Levis situation, like before you jump to conclusions on how they will turn out in the NFL. As far as the wide receiver position, completely understand, the concerns about it. We do have they do have Treylon Burks as their number one wide receiver right now, right? They have Kyle Phillips. They're assuming he'll be healthy back on the roster, can also be your return guy. Moore, who they just got in free agency, who's a veteran. He's not a splashy guy, but he is just an efficient guy who's been in the league a couple of years, can give you some production on the field. Add a Racy McMath in it. I'm not ruling him completely out. He had a great training camp last year, but then injuries hurt him. And I know nobody wants to hear that. If you're a Tennessee Titans fan, you don't want to hear about injuries. I completely get that. But let's see what he can do this year. Let's also wait to see what they do in the draft in these later rounds, because TD puts out there, Tron Davenport, he's great for information like this. He put out on Twitter. So the Tennessee Titans have, in round 5, they have 147th, in round 6, they have 186th, and in round 7, they have 228. So they have 3 picks today, and TD put out, a long list of some of the wide receivers that could be available. Tyler Scott, Xavier Hutchinson, A.T. Perry, C.J. Johnson, and the list goes on and on and on. And he said one of the sleepers he has is Xavier Smith. So there are options today. There also are options when, teams get their rosters together and they start cutting people from their active roster. Could there be a veteran, on a team that gets released? And then you could pick them up heading into training camp. So there are still moving pieces other than the draft itself. When it comes to tight end, Chigga Conquo is going to be your number one tight end. I know they signed somebody else and his name is escaping me right now, Junie.
I'm not as big on Moore. I don't really think that he's going to be, anything groundbreaking. I just look at what the Titans already have and the players you already mentioned in Phillips, Chig, and Treylon Burks, and they were all rookies last year. I just think at least one of them is going to take a big jump. I would say Chig would be likely the one that's going to take a big jump, but Treylon Burks could as well. And I think they need to get the opportunity. I mean, how are these young guys going to develop if they don't get that chance? And every single year, You know, you go into training camp and a team finds a hidden gem, maybe one of these late round receivers pans out. Maybe the Titans get one of them, but maybe another team gets one and they see a veteran on their team that can add some production. They're like, you know, we kind of want to go with this young guy that we found late in the draft, and we're going to let you go. And that could be an addition for the Titans that desperately need another guy to come in here. So, You never know. There's always surprise releases, guys that you would have never expected. You know, teams just wanting to, you know, cut some salary cap and go younger and try and develop a prospect they really like. So there's going to be other players available. There's going to be probably a late round receiver that they see some traits in that they can build off of, and they will go and do that. So I think pump the brakes on the Titans receivers. They got some young talent. Let's give these guys the opportunity to prove. And then there's obviously Marvin Harrison Jr. and company in next year's draft. And if these guys don't pan out, well, guess what? You're likely going to be picking high again. You can go get one of those high-end receivers coming out next year. So it's not the end of the world. They will find one eventually, but they should not overpick a player just based off need at a position.
Yeah, I agree, Junie. And also, you mentioned, right, the wide receivers in next year's class, Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. He's going to be another high draft pick. But you can see that this team is in a transition. You can. This is the last year on Ryan Tannehill's deal. Derrick Henry, I mean, I don't foresee them being on the team next year. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not, right? So, you know, they're putting pieces together to begin that reset. It's not going to be pretty. I mean, the team wasn't in a great position when Rand Carthon took over and when they ended the season last year. The other tight end I was thinking of, he's coming from Eastern Michigan, Thomas Odukoya. So he was a guy who had some production in college, played every game, 13 receptions, 130 receiving yards, two receiving scores. So let's see what he can be in training camp this year, right? So it'll be interesting. We have so much to talk about. We're going to have so much to talk about heading into next week. This conversation will continue. You know, let us know your thoughts on the text line, on Twitter, at Michelle Knezovic, at Junie Riddle, at 1025 The Game, 615-737-1025. We can read these texts heading into Monday. But a lot of questions regarding the draft. What will they do today? We will have you all covered, recapping it all starting Monday morning early at 6 a.m. But thanks for joining us today. For Nick Frazier, Junie Riddle, I'm Michelle Knezovic. Have a great weekend, Nashville. Enjoy the draft. And Titans fans, have a bit of an open mind. And let's just see how it all pans out. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 1025, 106.3 The Game.